Beloved congregation, the words of our text for this special hour can be found in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and thereof the second verse. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So far, the words of our text. The great shepherd pastures his sheep first, the rest of his pasture, and secondly, the feeding of his pasture. The great shepherd pastures his sheep first, the rest, and second, the feeding of his pasture. David said, congregation, the Lord is my shepherd. And maybe you say this afternoon, oh, if I could only say that. Now this afternoon, that is now the wish, that is the desire that I could have, the longing of my heart. If I may only be given to say truly, that I may believe it, and that I might know it, and that the Lord is not only the shepherd of my neighbor, but that I might know that the Lord is my shepherd, that is, congregation, the desire of the true church of God. Of a church that has no desire to presume and fears so often to take upon themselves that which does not belong to them. And also fears in this afternoon hour, as we can read it, to take the bread of the children that belongs to others and that does not belong unto me. Thus you say, I want to know it from the Lord. Do you want to know it from the Lord? That is honest. And that is the only way we can actually know it. And you say, how is it that the Lord says that to someone? And how is it that the Lord assures a person that he is their shepherd? That is, congregation, very often the work of a lifetime. And that the Lord is leading his children very often slowly, more and more, into this most blessed mystery. How does a child come to know his father or his mother? In the first place, it is not absolutely necessary that a child comes to know his father and his mother, because a child can die when he has never known his father or his mother. That does not take away the fact that he has a father, and that he has a mother, and that he is cared for by that father and by that mother. And that is the way it is with that true church of God, that some of them have to die before they ever know, and before they are ever able to say with that confidence that the Lord is my shepherd. And yet, of course, it is a very blessed thing when a child may grow up and that he may eventually know and be able to say, that is my father and that is my mother. That is understandable. So where does that start? Actually, with a little baby, children, with a little infant. Do you know where that starts? It does not start with words. It does not start with father and mother saying to that little child, I am your father and I am your mother. You say, why not? Because they cannot understand that. They cannot comprehend that. Thus, it begins with things. It begins with experiencing things. It begins with feeling things rather than in hearing and a testimony from father and mother of their relationship. Later on, of course, they will learn more of the intricacies and what it means to have a father or to have a mother. For now, when that child is small, they just experience father. They just experience mother. What does the Lord now say of that true church? He says, by their fruits you shall know them. That is how that we may know the church when we look around to one another. But it is also how the church comes to know themselves. It is how that church comes to know the relation that is between them and also a heavenly Father. David says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So what does that mean, to lie down? That is to rest, to rest. And now we have heard that sheep are very, very anxious animals. They are anxious animals that often are very startled very easily. And it is actually not just anyone who is able to make a sheep lie down. Not just anyone is able to do that. If there is any sense of danger in a sheep, he will not lie down. If there is any commotion that is going on around him, he will not lie down. No, he has to feel something of safety, and it is now a trusting in that shepherd that sheep learns that safety, and by whom he is given to lie down. So a shepherd even sometimes is training his sheep just to say a word, and then that sheep will lie down. David says also, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Thus that sheep is led by waters that are still, that are calm, that are quiet, that are without turbulence. We would say waters that are not only quiet, but quieting to an animated and to an anxious spirit. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Who is now more difficult to calm and to reassure than a person who has been convicted of his sin? Because congregation regeneration does not give a man rest. The regeneration does exactly the opposite. By regeneration, a man receives unrest. Thus, did you ever receive unrest in your life? Bunyan tried to show that with his pilgrim. When that word of God did strike his heart, then he was not able to rest anymore. before he had his rest in the midst of this world. Then he was oblivious to the danger of his soul, and he went on in his seeking everything that could quiet his conscience a little bit in this world. Thus he tried to make himself and to provide his own rest. And now in that new birth, then there is an unrest. And then there is no man who is able to make this person to rest. Do we know something of this unrest? What is that unrest? Because there are many people that have no rest in this world. Because there is so much misery in this world. There are accidents, there are deaths, there are sicknesses, there are plagues, there are earthquakes, there are fears, there are thieves, there are murderers, there is all kind of unrest that is in this world. And there is so much unrest that is sown by the devil. But what is now this unrest? We have spoken a little of that last time. That is that missing, that missing of God. I thirst for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Ah, that separation. We heard it from that church of God. Ah, that is mountains of separation that only he is able to come leaping over. It is a wall of separation. And thus it is an unrest apart from him, an unrest that is caused by me, by my own sin, by my own guilt, by my own foolishness. What happened to the Apostle Paul? We read when the Lord converted him, and when he thought he was so converted, oh, then he was without rest. 3 days. And 3 nights, we read in the Bible, he did not eat and he did not drink. David says, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Do you know what that is? That life, that unrest. Because that unrest is now making that flock of God to be prone to startle. To startle. And there is the least affliction. There is a little bit of trouble in their life, in their business, in their home. And then immediately they startle. Ah, they say, the Lord is displeased with me. What is it now in my life? Ah, and then they have fears. They have even premonitions. Ah, they say, here is now proof that it is not right in my soul. Ah, a church, and that is so prone, a flock that is so prone to startle. And now who can help this people? No person, no person in the whole world. Because where does the unrest come from? It comes not from a man. You cannot make a man, give a man such an unrest. That is an unrest that comes from heaven. And when the unrest comes from heaven, then from heaven also has to come that rest. And all the smooth words of people, however kindly they may be given, all the deceitful words that may come from people, they are not able to take away the turmoil that is living in the heart of this church. But what does now David say? He says, he maketh me to lie down. There's only one person in the whole world that is able to do this. He maketh me to lie down. That is now the testimony of that true church of God. The testimony of that second person in the adorable and holy Trinity of God. Christ said by times to his disciples, "Fear not." All that was now that great shepherd of his sheep. And then he made that people for a moment to lie down. Often it was just for a short time. And then that unrest was there again. And then he had to say it again to them, because that church, that young church, the new nature is just learning to trust, just learning to hope upon that Son of Man. He maketh me to lie down. So there is a connection between he and this lying down. This lying down that the true church is experiencing, sometimes even as a little infant, and may experience things, then they are not told, but they may experience. And then that church in experiencing this is connecting. What is that experience connected with? Who is that experience connected with? That is connected to this great shepherd. He maketh me. He is the cause of my lying down. So that is clearly established here in this word. Outside of Christ, there is no lying down for that people. Is that your experience? But in him, you know what Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That is now the experience of that true people of the Lord. And you know what happens then? You know what happens then? Isaiah, he writes as a beast, goeth down into the valley. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord causeth him to rest," just as an animal goes down into the valley. "The Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest." So, he says, the Lord makes a comparison. He says, "So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name." So, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is leading that people down to cause them," it says, "to rest." He is the cause. That is what happens. That is what is felt. That is now what is experienced. David says, "He maketh me to lie down." Bunyan says, "He gave me a pull." That is a saying. That is the cause that is connected to the experience. And thus that soul is introduced in his soul unto that great shepherd. And there is, congregation, no lying down like this lying down. No, not in the whole world. To know that lying down, That is only to experience that lying down. We have to experience that lying down in order to know it. And as soon as a person knows and experiences something of this rest and of this lying down, then he will know immediately that this is the supreme rest. That there is no rest to be found for the soul of a man above this rest. All that is a rest immediately connected to that great shepherd. And they know so little of that shepherd. But they begin to feel something of that shepherd. And what do they feel of that shepherd? Ah, they feel rest. They feel rest. They feel relief. And thus, even though it is very short-lived, then their desire is always that they may know, that they may feel, that they may experience that rest again. And that is in our second thought, and that he also is feeding them in his pasture. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So why? That is that they may eat and that they may drink. So what is a green pasture? We may say that is many things. If I ask that to the children, say, what exactly is a green pasture? But what is a green pasture unto a sheep? Well, that is to him a place of very, very great plenty. Plenty. That is what a sheep experiences when he is brought to feed in a green pasture. There is there no want. There is there no lack. In a pasture, in a green pasture, he receives freedom. He may just graze there, and he may graze there to eat whatever that he likes. There that he may be filled. Then he experiences that there is where he receives pleasure. There he receives nourishment. There he may be fed. There he may grow. Still waters, they are similar. They are not tumultuous, but they are waters just fit. They are waters conducive to do what? They are there to quench his thirst. So just like those pastures, they are sufficient for him, and they are so enjoyable to him to eat and to satisfy his hunger. So those still waters, the same, so quiet that he may just drink there and he may quench that thirst of his soul. Thus these green pastures and these still waters are representative of the blessings, of the favors, of the spiritual favors that the Lord is blessing his people with, that they may eat of, that they may drink of. Oh, what is it? It is congregation grace. Grace. There is no greater plenteousness that a man can experience in this world than free and sovereign grace that is coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. There he may feed. There he may rest. There he may eat. There he may drink. Ah, this is now the pasture of grace, wherein the Lord is leading all of his own children. You know the Hebrew that is pointing in a way to what they call an oasis. So what is an oasis? An oasis is a fertile spot right in the middle of a desert. So you'll have a desert, and then there is a certain spring, and because there is water in this one place, then there is growth. There is grass, and there is sufficient for the animals there. So actually, it is being placed here in the midst of a context. It is an oasis that is this feeding, this grass, this pasture that is in the midst of dryness. It is in the midst of lack. It is in the midst of want. It is in the midst of death. Because if those animals are in the desert and there is no place where there is water, then they are going to die. And so we see the context wherein that this feeding and this nourishment and this enjoyment may be partaken of. Now David says, he leadeth me. That is to very carefully and to very gently lead. So we see that the picture of that shepherd, he is gently leading that sheep in the midst of this desert, this barren desert, to this oasis. So what is that? That is actually life from the dead. Life from the dead. That is what grace is. You know that? Is that now the experience in your soul? That you have experienced life from the dead. That is actually clearly referring to the practice of the shepherds in those days to make their flock, Solomon says, to rest at noon. To rest at noon. So there is rest, there is enjoyment, there is refreshment, all here combined together. And this resting, this lying down, is a very important part of the health of a sheep that takes place after the morning grazing, after they have eaten that grass. And this lying down is a time of the chewing of the cud. And during the chewing of the cud, there is a regurgitation from the first stomach of the sheep, where that food is only partially digested, and where it is still coarse and is not easy to get the nutrients yet out of that food. And that food is regurgitated once again into the mouth while he is lying down at noon. And there that food is re-chewed. That is, it is broken down into smaller pieces. And there it is mixed with saliva. And there it is made into that which is able to give nourishment unto that sheep, so that he may profit from it. Our congregation, this leading unto these still waters, and this lying down in these green pastures, that is a very singular mark of that true church of God, being led by that great shepherd. Because what do we do naturally with what we hear? What do you do with it, boys and girls? You say, when we come home, we hardly know what we have heard anymore. But the Lord doesn't make his people only to graze. No, he makes them also to chew the cud. Do you know what David says? He says, mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate on thy word. And it is in that chewing of the cud, It is in that meditation of that word that the prophet is coming out of it, that that food and that drink is becoming digestible to that church. Christ said to his disciples, I will send the Comforter. And when he is come, he shall bring all things, he says, to your remembrance. Ah, that is now that place where that word of Christ, we can read that in the life of the disciples that was made to profit them when it is brought again to their remembrance. Oh, grace, free, sovereign grace. That is now these green pastures. Oh, when that church is made for a moment, you know what that is? To lie down in these green pastures, then it is always in the midst of a waste, howling wilderness. And then the Lord is giving rest for a moment. He is giving rest from their sorrows. He is giving rest from their fears. He is giving rest from the hard bondage wherein that they were made to serve. And that has afflicted their souls. And then what do they experience? They experience plenty. Ah, they experience that they are green pastures. That there is so much grace. That is grace that is as wide as the ocean. Ah, where sin abounded, that grace did much more abound. Those are those green pastures that David is here speaking about. And then those pastures, they receive a place here in their heart, a place, a treasured place. And they are actually surprised. You know, Bunyan says that, doesn't he? He says, I was surprised at how powerful that a sight of that cross was. That it was so powerful that it could release that burden from my back. You know of that? Maybe not yet that complete release of that burden, but the power, the spiritual power of that word that is giving someone who no man can make to rest and to lie down, but the Lord, he maketh me to lie down. And then it is in the midst of that oasis, in the midst of that waste, howling wilderness. Paul calls Christ, he says, he is that great shepherd, he says, that great shepherd of his sheep. Oh, may that great shepherd also, even just look. We would say, Lord, just look a moment through the lattice upon me. Look at us. That we may see just even the smallest portion, because we deserve nothing, but that thou mayest come, Lord, leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. Amen. The form will now be read for the administration of the Lord's Supper.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them to the end, that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that, rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly, as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and hath firmly resolved henceforward to walk in the true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord, but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely, that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with as zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy, and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. And finally, confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, "It is finished." Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In like manner also after supper he took the cup, gave thanks and said, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you. That, whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you. And I certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely, sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we, by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, for we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth, and mixes itself together, so shall we all, who, by a true faith, are ingrafted into Christ, be altogether one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen.
That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace. That we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary as well for the body as the soul. As thy beloved children and heirs, grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. While the table is being prepared, let us sing from Psalter 425, stanzas 2 and 3. In joyful song your hearts uniting, his works most marvelous reciting. Now glory in his holy name, let those that seek him spread his fame. Incline your hearts to sing his praise, and unto him their anthems raise. 2 and 3 of Psalter 425. beloved congregation, it is according to the command of Christ, and that once again provision is made within his church here on earth, that we may remember his death until he comes. And then we understand that it is not everyone and that is invited unto this table. Then it is in the first place and necessary that we may be a confessing member of this church. But then again, it is not every confessing member and that is invited. But we read in God's word and that he calleth his own by name. And then it is those who may be called by name, that is his inheritance given unto him by his Father, and that is his own elect, and that are called unto his table that they may commune with him, as he says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. But election is not that which we are told in a direct way. Then we say, who are those who have ever heard their own name called by him? And because he says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Who are then his sheep who are called by him? They are congregation, those who are in want. And they are those who know a want, not the want of this world and all the natural wants that have come by reason of our sin, but the spiritual want of a regenerated soul that misses God and that says that he desires to return to him. One that looks back to paradise in all the guilt and all the shame, and that is his own fault, and has a desire for that reconciliation. One who cries out for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? It is those who are not strangers of want, the want of righteousness, the want of obedience. What did Paul say? He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He desired so to obey, but that obedience was not found in him. Are there those then who know this want? Do you know the want of protection, the lack of protection from the justice of God? Do you want protection from temptation? You say, I cannot protect myself because my heart goes after every sin that can be found in this world. Thus, that is in the first place. It is a people who are not strangers of want. In the second place, it is a people who are not strangers of perishing or having to perish in their want. That is, that they are not able to fulfill that want because the flock of God is not able to provide for themselves. And when the children of Israel were in Egypt, then it was to learn that they could not take care of themselves. That took a long, long time. When Moses was born, then they were already throwing the little children in the river. 40 years it took. 40 years later, and then Moses shows himself, and they reject him. And why? They have not yet perished, congregation. And they have not had to perish in their want. Another 40 years had to go by. 80 years later, And then when the cry of the children of Israel is coming up unto God, and where they cannot deliver themselves anymore, when all their strength has perished, then the Lord is coming. Then that Savior appears unto their people, and then they do bow their heads and worship. Oh, do you know the want? Do you know something of having to perish in your want? And do you know something? The least part of the revelation of that blessed Savior in all of your perishing, have you seen in him as such great beauty? Have you seen in him such great sufficiency, such great necessity, that you say, he is the one that I need, and he is the only name given under heaven among men whereby my soul can be saved? Oh, have you been given by him to lie down in the pasture of free and sovereign grace just for a moment and to rest there? Oh, have you been given to see the abundance of those fat pastures that the Lord is leading that people into, even if it was for but a moment in your life? Congregation, and this table of the Lord is now opened. It is opened unto those who are not unacquainted with their want. It is open unto those who have to perish in their want and cannot help themselves. And it is open unto those to whom the Lord has opened a small portion of his blessed and dear Son, and who have received a little rest in their life. Oh, even a moment's rest in that great pasture. Then we say, come, come, for all things are now ready. And he does call that you would show forth his death until he come. Congregation, are there any more? Maybe we have been a little too high. You say to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I do not dare say it. And that I shall not want, I still feel so much want. You know, it does not say I do not want. It says that I shall not want. Thus it is in the future. The church that is saved by hope. The apostle says hope that is seen is not hope. Oh, then it says the Lord is my shepherd. That little word is provided in our version of the Bible. You know what it says? It says, the Lord, my shepherd. Was there ever a moment that your heart said that? That your heart pressed him onto your soul? That you said, the Lord, my shepherd. And if I may have him, then I shall not want. If there are no more, then we will close this table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Drink ye all of it. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. This was written by Solomon. And who was Solomon? Solomon is David's son. So what do Solomon and David have in common? Well, we read their sin. We read their sin exposed to the whole world in the Bible. We would say like father, like son. And that is, yes, as their father, Adam. And so also our father. But now there is something else, and that is the greatest wonder. And that is also written in that word of grace, of God. And that is the grace that was given unto them. And when David may say, and that God did make him to lie down in his green pastures, and he did lead him beside the still waters. And then Solomon may also speak of those same things. And then they are not strangers of that blessed freedom and that blessed abundance. And they were not strangers of the blessed rest of that true church of God. Solomon says, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, and where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. And so she desired that bride that she may feed there again. She had been there amongst that flock resting at noon. She may eat amongst those pastures. Oh, Solomon may speak about it, the grace that was given unto his father. Then Solomon may know that same grace. And now what is it? That is the same grace that the whole church of God may experience and may eat of those blessed pastures. And what now are they? Because what has now made your soul by times to rest in the midst of this waste howling wilderness? Must you not say that it is this Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the whole world, and that you have been given at one time or another so to lie down in that blessed pasture? We think about the active obedience of that Son of God, because we spoke about Paul, who said, "O wretched man that I am." And then Paul may experience a little rest when he says that there is no condemnation now to them who are in Christ Jesus. And so that church from the Old Testament to the New Testament, in the act of obedience of that Son of God, they receive by moments a little rest and a little eating in those fat pastures. And then of that, this broken bread and of this poured out wine, signifying the passive obedience, not withholding himself from that suffering that we have deserved because of our sin. And so the fulfillment of that justice which has given us so much unrest in our life, and that we have had so much to fear, and that he has given that we may rest a little. Oh, did you ever see, did you ever feel, did you ever experience a little rest in the satisfaction of the Father? If we may see a little of him who we love, have been given to love, have been given to desire, to return unto, that he actually himself sent his only begotten Son. And so if we may have tasted the rest in him, then we have seen a little of the rest of the Father, and how that that Father is satisfied with all that his Son has done. And he is not only the Lamb, but he is also the Shepherd. And by times maybe you have received a little rest and been given to see a little of the abundance that is in him, because we read in God's word, he is the anointed of the Father, for example. And in the anointing of the Father, there is so much blessed rest, because there are in there three offices, prophet, priest, and king. That is for all of our ignorance. That is for all of our sin. That is all for all of our wandering. And then there is no more needed. There is then such an abundance. Then he has provided everything and left nothing undone for all that he will do for his church. He is called the advocate. He is called the mediator. He is called the daysman, and that is betwixt us. Did you ever receive a little rest therein, in those fat pastures, to feel and to see, and that there is one to give an answer, and when we have to appear and before our judge, and there that we will have one that may speak for us? A little rest in Emmanuel, God with us, the God-man, God himself and man himself in one person. What a power. What a power sufficient, the divine power to give what is necessary, and the power in his humanity that is being brought into our very humanity, that he may take the place of each and every one of us. What an abundance that there is in every one of the names of this blessed mediator. Therefore, he is called the shield, because if the Lord will shield us, then we have maybe received a little rest in that and seen something of an abundance in that. Because if we have a little shield on this, in this world, and then we say, well, that only shields from the front, and then it can come from the side still, and from that side, and from the back. But if we may see something of this shield, then there is no enemy, there is no man, and there is no devil that is able to destroy us anymore. Therefore, he is called the Alpha. He is called the Omega. He is called the beginning. He is called the end. He is called the first. He is called the last. Because there is an abundance, such an abundance. He is called the fountain. Did you ever see him as a fountain? Then it is not only just a little bit, but it is a never-ending supply, a fountain of life. And he is called in the end also an habitation. Oh, who can tell? Who can know what is laid away for an afflicted and a poor people of the Lord? He is an habitation, and in him shall his people be, and they shall dwell in him, and there shall be an abundance in him, and there shall be a rest in him that shall be experienced world without end. Let us sing from Psalter 209, stanzas 8 and 11. And afterwards we ask the communicants to return to their seats. Thy deeds, O Lord, will I relate, and on thy wonders meditate. Thy way, O God, is just and right, and none is like to thee in might. And 11, thy way, O God, was in the sea. 8 and 11 of 209.
Thank you.
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who had not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks, and that thou hast of thine infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal. And that thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son Jesus Christ should institute and ordain in his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 28, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. When in the night I meditate on mercies multiplied, my grateful heart inspires my tongue to bless the Lord, my guide. 1, 3, and 5 of Psalter 28. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.